A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the match preview show. It's a big game this weekend. I'm joined by Jay Pearson and Abigail Rudkin to talk about Liverpool versus Arsenal. Absolute huge game at the top of the Premier League table. So I'm delighted I've got two of my favourite guests to chat about the Reds with.
Yeah, that's great.
No, you're absolutely welcome, man. No lies we're told. Jay, before we even go into everything about this game, the tactics and the formations and the team, it is just a huge, huge game. I mean, by the time it kicks off, it could be that Aston Villa are top of the league, but Liverpool with a chance to go above them. It could be, they definitely got a chance to go above Arsenal. Yeah. If you'd have said to any Liverpool fan, you've got a game at home a couple of days before Christmas, and if you win it, you'll be top of the league, every single one of us will bit your hand off in the summer. It is absolutely massive, this one, isn't it?
It's nice to be in this situation at Christmas. You know, this time last year we weren't in this situation. We were like, right, what have we got to look forward to, type thing. So yeah, mate, bit your hand off, love it. Quarter finals of the Carabao as well, you know. So it's a good time at the minute. So let's keep it going.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, isn't it? Absolutely, because we've noticed in the past, and I think we saw this a little bit last year as well, there is something about Arsenal at Anfield that can kind of get to them a little bit. You know, they were all over Liverpool last season, and then Liverpool made a couple of tweaks, got back in the game, and probably should have won it if Ibu Konate missed from a yard in the last.
Salah missed the penalty.
It's been one of those, but it does feel a little bit like a different Arsenal as well. You feel like they've got a little bit more resilience. They've made a couple of really good signings, in particular Declan Rice, who's added a little bit of steel to them. Not only is it a massive game for Liverpool, it's almost a bigger game for Arsenal, like, to announce yourself. If you go to Liverpool and you beat them, or and you perform well, or you do well at Anfield, it kind of, I still think there are a couple of doubts about Arsenal's mentality. I don't think anyone, especially after last season when they've kind of fell away, this is a chance for them to go, right, we mean business here. Man City have had a little bit of a wobble, we're the favourites. It's a huge game for them as well.
I think they'll be thinking more of it than we are, to be honest. I think they'll probably be going into it thinking, if we win this, then top of Christmas, you know, they will be above Villa, of course. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's a big game for us, but we're still in a transitional period, and I don't want to put too much on it for us. Like, I wouldn't take a draw now, though, at Anfield against Arsenal, because if the crowd get behind them, and I know, obviously, we'll probably talk about Klopp's comments, then Arsenal seem to just crumble at Anfield. I mean, remember when Arteta was having a go at Klopp, and straight away we all just got behind them then. And I mean, it's stuff like that that seems to get the crowd at Anfield to get behind you recently. It's not always for the big games, you don't seem to be up for it. I understand what everyone was saying about the Man United game, but it is a bigger game for Arsenal. I think they'd take a draw now, and we probably wouldn't. I think, from what I've seen from Arsenal fans online, I've seen them say
absolutely,
they'd take
a draw.
Absolutely, draws
are massive. They bite your hand off for a point of view. Yeah. Them now, keep Liverpool behind them. Yeah. Obviously, City aren't playing. They're away in the Club World Cup. Yeah. That's the other thing on this, isn't it, Jay? Is that, again, you don't want to look too far ahead, but Liverpool play two more games before Manchester City even kick a ball. There's a chance that Liverpool can, you know, 6 points would take them to 44. City are only on 34. I know they'd have two games in hand, but a 10-point cushion on Man City, it'll put huge pressure on them as and when they return. I think they return with a rather tough game actually against Everton, who are in decent nick at the moment. That's another thing that you've got to consider in this, you know, a chance to really put a bit of pressure on City, but for when they come back from the Club World Cup, my God, look how far Liverpool are away from us. Like, that put that pressure on them as well, not only Arsenal.
I'm one of those people, mate, that I can't help but count and add points.
Yeah,
I'm always looking at the table going, oh, if we get another six there, I'm the same, mate. I always do. And anyone who says, no, you've got to take each game as it comes, yeah, absolutely true. But don't tell me you don't sit there and have a look at the table and go,
mate, I know City's fixtures for the next 2 years.
That's what I mean. So you're going to look. So, like, I've going back to what you said there about the mentality, they'll come back from the Club World Cup. And they'll look at, hopefully they'll look at the table and go, oh my God, Liverpool are far ahead now. City have already got this thing at the minute that's hanging over about, are they the team that they were last year, and, you know, the treble hangover and this and the other, which, fingers crossed, you know, hopefully they do have a treble hangover and this thing continues. But we've just got to do our business, mate, because right now it's in our hands. So you keep winning your games, then you're fine. But it would be lovely come this Christmas period to have that 10-point gap. The only thing that worries me is, we had a very similar gap in 2019, and then we all know what happened there. But you don't want to get too ahead of yourself, but I can't help but get excited. It's Christmas, and we could be 10 points clear of them.
Absolutely. We've got to get past Arsenal first there, sitting in this world. Interesting thing with Arsenal, the interesting thing with Arsenal, I'm just looking back through some of their results from this season, Abby. So, away from home, it's worth mentioning against the bigger teams, they drew at Chelsea. They got beat at West Ham, that was in the League Cup. They got beat at Newcastle. They got beat at Villa, and now they're coming to Anfield. So that is, if you're looking at Arsenal, thinking, what is the little, you know, maybe chink in the armour, because they're in great form. You know, they've won, I think they've won, I'm just looking back at it now, I think they've won four of the last five. That defeat obviously coming at Villa. But they haven't quite proved to anyone yet that they can go away to the biggest of big grounds. And to be honest, they're not the big, with all due respect to those teams, they're not City, they're not Liverpool, yeah.
No.
And, you know, they couldn't beat Chelsea at their place, they couldn't beat Aston Villa the other day. They had a little bit of a wobble as well elsewhere, didn't they, at Newcastle as well. So that could potentially be something they have to go and prove, that Liverpool could really play on that.
If they get a win on Anfield, I'd say Arsenal could probably win the league there, when you look at the way Man City are playing. I'd say if they do beat us at home, because, you know, with our records, like, at home, we don't get beat. That's the thing. When you look at it, it's annoying that we even got that draw against Man United, because we were on that many wins. It really annoyed me when the graphic come up. But if they can beat us at home, it's a bigger thing for them than it is for us. Like, if they do beat us, they're a great side, and obviously I will be disheartened, but not as much as I probably would have been in the past. But for them it'd be an absolutely massive deal.
Yeah, obviously, let's look at Arsenal first, then, Jay, before we talk about Liverpool and what they would do. They've had a week off, which I think's worth mentioning. They beat Brighton last time out 2-0, and I know it took a while to get the second goal, but it felt like they were always in control.
Off them,
That team that they played there, they have Rea, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko, Odegaard, Rice, Havertz, Saka, Jesus, Martinelli. It feels, I'm just looking, going down to the bench, it feels like that's probably going to be the team again. I can't really see anything else. I know they've look at their injury tables now as well. They've got Vieira, Tomiyasu, Partey, probably still a doubt, Jorginho as well. It feels like that team.
Some of them players, it feels like it's 2004 Arsenal.
Elneny and stuff. Yeah, wrong one. Wrong Vieira. Thankfully, they haven't got that one. It does feel like that's going to be the Arsenal team. It's a strong Arsenal team, but is there anything there that you think he's the main threat?
I think Saka going up against Tsimikas might be the one. That's where I'm looking, where I think the game could be turning Arsenal's favour that way, because, you know, this isn't, again, no disrespect to Tsimikas, but, you know, in terms of levels and confidence and stuff, it could be that, you know. But we could end up isolating Saka in a different way anyway, depending on how the midfield sets up. So that's, for me, is a key area of the field from Arsenal's perspective. Don't get me wrong, I think Martinelli's great, you know, Jesus is great, but I think we've got the quality in the centre halves to nullify them, and especially if we can win those midfield battles as well, we'll stop the supply to them. So, but it's that Saka Tsimikas battle that's going to be interesting for me.
On the other side as well, you've got Martinelli against Trent. I'm guessing Trent plays at right back. That's confirmed. There's still a chance he plays in midfield, but that'll be Arsenal's way of trying to get out, I think, Abby. They've done that in the past. They'll try and get the ball off in an early to Saka and Martinelli against Liverpool and try and pin them high. So both our full backs, probably Trent and Costas, are going to have to be on the game.
Yeah, Trent does get targeted in games like this, and at the end of the day, we're sort of playing him in a different way now, so they probably will go down that side a lot more than they usually would. So I mean, at the end of the day, I think Trent might probably possibly play in a midfield position. I don't know. It just depends how much of a risk Klopp wants to take, because he could go back to that sort of like traditional, let's just be solid in this game, you know what I mean? But I don't really think Klopp's the type to maybe not take risks.
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
No, you'll always be on the front foot. It is interesting, Jay. We'll talk about Liverpool in a moment and how they might match up. But what Arsenal have had, they used Kai Havertz almost like a little midfielder recently. And because how good Declan Rice and Martin Odegaard have been, they've been able to do it. I do wonder if he's willing to do it again in this type of game. Can you go to Arsenal? Can you go to Anfield away? Rice will play and Odegaard will play. There's no doubt about that. That third midfielder for them will kind of show Mikel Arteta's. Yeah. Not bravery, but like what his plans are. Havertz would be a very attacking move. He's got other options in there as well. You know, potentially a Trossard, I don't know. But it does feel like if it's going to be Havertz, that's a very attacking Arsenal. They're going to come to the pool and have a go.
Yeah, of course, mate. And they'll have confidence from the way they played there last season. And that will still be in their minds, because they'll, in Arsenal fans' minds, like, well, we should have won that game and this and that. And that's where we lost the league, blah, blah, blah. They will take the confidence from that, but they'll also know that they're playing up against a completely different Liverpool from the one that was at Anfield last season, because we had pretty much, and yeah, it was a long shot we were making the top four, especially after that game, but it was still a long shot anyway. But coming back to it, they have a very, very strong midfield, but again, it is that attacking where Rice does go forward more as an unorthodox DM. So there's that space in behind, that's where we can sort of win the midfield battle, but we've got to get our midfield right, and that's what I'm worried about, because I made a good point. If you're going to stick Trent in midfield, I wouldn't be bothered, because then Gomez is at right back, and I'll be the way Gomez has been playing at right back, I think I'm very confident with
him. You can feel a goal in coming from him soon. He'll score the goal to win us so the title good. Or something, you know. You can just feel
that.
It.
A little winner. Put 50p on that. I'd love that.
A little winner the weekend. Yeah. The other thing, going back to Arsenal, and I said this before, Man United, Liverpool didn't really make the most of it, Abby, but like, there's pressure on their goalkeeper too. Their goalkeeper situation's a bit mad. Raya and Ramsdale. He's gone with Raya. I personally think that's right. I think Raya is probably better than Ramsdale. But he's hardly been infallible either. Now, Liverpool had this with Onana and he didn't really make the most of it. You know, he isn't a great goalkeeper. He had one really bad one in the first half that he got away with. Other than that, Liverpool didn't test them. He's got a very good back two in front of him. You know, Gabriel and Saliba are both excellent. They really are. But if you can, there is something in that Raya thing where you'd hope to try and make a little bit more of that play on him than he did on Onana, because they made it quite easy for him, and he went into Anfield under pressure. Raya's under pressure every time he plays. Every time he makes a mistake, the camera pans to Aaron Ramsdale and vice versa. Arteta's made this issue. Hopefully Liverpool can actually take advantage of that.
Yeah, that was one thing that was doing me in about the Onana thing at the Man United game. Like, he's terrible in my opinion, and we weren't capitalising on it. You could see Nunes was trying a little bit, but at the end of the day, he was kicking the ball out most of the time. The moment he was taking a goal kick, and you can sort of, with Raya's performances, and like you've said about the whole thing with Ramsdale, there is this competition there, and you would be, if you were in between the posts there, you'd be flapping it, thinking, if I make one mistake here, I could lose my place. And maybe there is a bit of pressure on him then, and if you're coming up against the likes of Darwin Nunes and Salah, then you might be feeling the pressure. But yeah, I'm hoping Mo can sort of go into it and sort of take advantage of that, because he's not impressing me recently. I mean, I love Mo and it doesn't matter. He can score so many goals even when he's had a terrible game. But I'm hoping this can be the game for Mo where he can sort of capitalise on that, score quite a few goals, hopefully.
Zinchenko, who's probably going to be up against Jay, to round up on the Arsenal. He's literally said Salah's the hardest player to play against. Like, he's admitted himself in interviews and stuff. It's Salah's just like, it's almost impossible. So he's there and then he's gone. And he has had success against Zinchenko in the past, albeit for City as well. But that could be one where Liverpool go right again. You're looking at a very strong team, but how are we going to get at them? Liverpool, again, it depends what Mo turns up, because he has been a little bit off the boil, but he's another one who he would fancy his chances against Zinchenko, because he knows he's done it before.
Yeah, he knows you better than him, but Arsenal as a back five, they are very, very good.
But yeah, when Rice sits in front of them.
Yeah, they're so solid, and that, again, worries me a little bit, because I just think we've done okay against the so-called bigger sides this season, and I'm really pleased with the record they've got. But just the way where we are at the minute, there's a small part of my brain that just goes, because straight away from the United game, you could call it from the first half an hour it was going to be a 0-0, because you just, the frustration and things which weren't working, and we're up against a much, much better side in Arsenal. So yeah, it's not going to be cut and dry, mate, but that is definitely an avenue for the side.
How do you think Arteta approaches it? Because we saw Ten Hag come and basically park a bus and then say, well, we'll hit you on the counter, and it nearly worked. You know, very nearly worked. He had a couple of, they probably had the better opportunities on the break. Arteta has come to Anfield before and tried to do it. He'd done it in the League Cup and got a 0-0. We just went and won the second leg at their place. He's also come and tried to play. And last season he was 2-0 up when he tried to play. So it both have worked. I wonder how he sees himself in terms of how he sets his team up, because that will play a huge part in this. If he comes in as a game, they've got every chance of beating us, but they've also got every chance of getting exposed. If they go down the Man United route, they're probably better on the counter staff than United would be. So he has got both options open to him. How do you see him going?
Well, I've seen what Ab said earlier when they said about they'll take a draw. I think Arteta in his mind is like, you know, he'll have a quiet word in his little room with his assistants going, do you know what, if we get a draw there, that's a great result for us. So I think there's going to be a good period of the game where Arsenal will sit back. That might be the first 20 minutes, half an hour, because they'll see the way Palace did it against us. They'll see the way United did it against us, albeit West Ham didn't do it against us, but a completely different competition. But they can see that we do struggle against that type of play. So I do reckon he'll go reserved for the first half an hour.
Do you think same one?
Yeah, I agree completely. They might take the Man United route, and like what you've just said, if they get us on the break, then they're going to be a lot more clinical in that. So
yeah, we'll see how they pan out. We'll talk about Liverpool and how we're going to set up in a moment. A bit of indie stuff as well. We are recording this rather before the press conference, but there's a couple of things that we already know. So we'll try and pick a Liverpool team, predict the game in a moment. Before we do, we've got our latest Legends prize draw to give away. That Diogo Jota post that you can see right there.
Don't regret it.
Yeah, go on, mate. You've got that for us. If you're listening, it's a lovely Diogo Jota poster. That will be on its way to one of our Redmen Plus Legends subscribers. We're going to give it away now. Today, I'm just looking at my watch again. I always have to do it. I always forget what day it is. It's the 22nd, so there's still three more prizes to give away, including a programme signed by Jamie Carragher and a shirt signed by Ubu Kanate. So if you want to get involved in those last three prize draws, redmenplus.com, join as a Legends subscriber, whether it's for a year or just for a month, and get yourselves in the hat. Right then, shall we spin the wheel and see who's going to win this lovely, lovely Diogo Jota poster? I'm going to do it right now. So congratulations, well done, and ooh, we'll send the poster to you. It is Diesel.
Okay,
just like 90s wrestler Diesel.
Kevin Nash, well done Kevin Nash.
There you go, that's straight over your head. I
just
no
thought
idea.
Of Vin Diesel.
You thought that's of Vin point, Diesel, yeah. Yeah. Another famous Diesel.
Yeah,
me and Jay thought of 90s wrestlers. You thought of modern day act. That's the age difference between us, love. Yeah, congratulations,
well
Diesel.
Done, Diesel.
Yeah, Kevin's on its way to you, my friend. And yeah, two more draws we'll do. The next ones in and around the Arsenal game, and then the final one we'll draw on Boxing Day for the Burnley game. So get yourselves involved. Can't wait to see you over there. If you sign up, by the way, over at redmenplus.com, whether it's a legend or a captain, you get our latest docu-series, comes out Christmas Eve, part one, part two, Christmas Day. The man to my right has been working hard on it. Top 50, sorry, let me get the title right.
The 50 greatest Liverpool signings of all time.
That was easy for me to say. The 50 greatest Liverpool, I was going to say the greatest 50. The 50 greatest is better.
Potato, potato.
No, no, you've done it better. The 50 greatest Liverpool signings of all time. A countdown, over 7,000 Liverpool fans voted on who the best signings this football club have ever made. We'll be counting down top 50, so part one, Christmas Eve, will be 50 to 26. Part two, Christmas Day, 25 to 1. Get yourselves involved in it as well. Some shocks, some mad names. The top is so competitive, it's a joke. Like, honestly, I'd say any of the top 10 had a realistic chance of being top one. That's how strong it's been. So
it's been interesting. Yeah. It's been very interesting putting it together. But do you know what? One of the great things about it is the reactions from the people we've interviewed for it. And again, there's... So we've spoken before about a bit of an age difference. You know, we've had older generation of fans in it. We've had younger generation of fans in it, and it is really funny. It's good. It's a really good thing, if I do say so myself.
Well, yeah, mate, you've done a good job on that one. So yeah, come and get yourselves involved on Red Men Plus, and you'll be able to watch that on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Sneak off a little hour, get away from the madness, or sit down and watch it with all your family and all the Reds. I love these countdown shows. Christmas Eve, I used to always watch like the top 50 Christmas films or top 50 songs. No, I love all that. Me, so yeah, I'm sure it'll go down well. We've done top 50 Liverpool players of the Premier League era a couple of years ago. The reaction was really, really strong to that one, so I'm hoping you guys enjoy this one too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right then, let's talk about the Reds, Jay. As it stands, I'll be waiting again. To clarify, Jürgen hasn't had his press conference yet. It's later this afternoon. It is what it is. We can't do nothing about that. We know there's no Matip. We know there's no Robertson. We're pretty sure there's no McAllister that he got ruled out the other day until after Christmas. Probably Gravenberch is on teetering on the edge. Jota, there's an outside chance, but we're not too sure. And obviously no Thiago and Bacetic, so they're almost certainties at this point. Liverpool, he does still have options, it's worth mentioning that.
Yeah.
And Liverpool come off the back of a very good performance in midweek where a couple of lads really, really you know, if Jürgen's based purely on performance, there's a couple of lads who played on Wednesday, you think, you know what, you more than deserve to play. It's going to be fascinating how he balances the minutes that he just played on Wednesday, but also loads of those lads played really well. And if he's into momentum and rhythm like he always is, he'd have every right to pick loads of them as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And I was really surprised at the team on Wednesday. Only for a certain couple of players, but overall I was really pleased at how many of those players got minutes. Like, even when we went 2-0 up, he made changes immediately. And I was a little bit shocked because I thought, well, 2-0 is still a little bit of a dodgy scoreline, especially if West Ham go and get one, which they did, but it was, you know, it was three by then. So I saw the confidence he had, but you could see that he wanted to give minutes into the legs of the lads, because we spoke about this, didn't we, on the previous show the other day with Sam. And we used to play two games a week, and sometimes having a full week off can be detriment to you. You know, you're not in that rhythm and whatsoever. But you know, you look at Szoboszlai, he played brilliantly. He needed a performance like that. He gets himself a goal, which was great. We've already mentioned Joe Gomez. He was absolutely brilliant again. Endo didn't do a bad job either. Mo gets a goal. You know, there's a lot of positive going into the lineup. And I'm quite happy with whatever situation he picks.
Suppose Abby, let's start picking a team then. So the first change on, we know that, so Alisson comes back in.
Yeah.
Van Dijk plays, Timokas plays.
Yeah.
He's got two things to do here. It's who plays centre back next to Van Dijk, and then it's who plays right back. Trent will play, it's just whether he plays at right back in midfield. I personally think Trent stays. I think he'll put him at right back. The fact that he took Endo off into the game the other day suggests he's probably going to start again. Would you agree? Do you think Trent stays?
Yeah, I don't
at
think
right
he
back?
Takes that risk in this game, to be honest.
It's an option to move him in there later in the game if they want him to, like they've done before.
That's probably what we will do, but not to start it off. Definitely not. You'll probably see Konate and Trent.
Ibu, you thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking Ibu, to be honest. I mean, Quanta's great, don't get me wrong. Like,
Gomez is in good form.
yeah. I think if I was gonna play Gomez, I'd probably want him at right back though, to be honest. I quite like seeing the way he's moving down that side at the minute. Yeah. Definitely. Even the way he's whipping in balls and stuff like I've never seen him do before. I'm appreciating it a lot more, because to be honest, I was one of those people last season that sort of had him written off and thought he'd definitely be gone. But now I am really impressed with him at the minute. But I do see Trent does get the start. This is a really big game, and I just don't see him putting him in midfield.
Yeah, you don't
want to
mess around
with
it too much, do you?
No.
Yeah.
I suppose the fact that he split Van Dijk and Konate's minutes the other day, Quanta played the whole game, probably suggests that the plan was always, I mean, was always going to be Ibu.
I wouldn't be shocked
if he played Quanta. I probably would be a little bit surprised actually, but I'd be fine with it.
Our
very own Ben Kelly tweeted yesterday a really good point about, you got to the point now with Kwanzaa that, yes, he's still young and he still needs experience and all that, but if he was starting a game, we've just said it, we'd be all right. I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, well, it is what it is. You know, hopefully we don't have another centre-back crisis like we did a few years ago. But if, you know, say that happened again, Kwanzaa starts to start every game, you're fine with it. Same way we got to the point when Nat Phillips, when he was coming in, you were like, oh, sound.
He's well better than that Phillips dog.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And do you know what? It might be, do you know what, Kwanzaa? You've earned your bloody stripes, mate. Get in there. Yeah. It's a good game for him. You know, he needs to be playing his big game.
I reckon he starts Burnley.
Yeah, definitely starts that game. But again, you go with what you know. Tried and tested. Ebu and Van Dijk have a good partnership. And like Abby said, you need that stability. So let's just keep it.
Agreed. Let's talk on midfield then. Do we all agree Endo starts, given the fact that he went off the other day and there's no other number six in the team?
Yeah.
Probably
yeah,
Endo.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I think he's starting to improve as
he was
well.
Really good.
He's been really good last week. Recently.
He has. He was good against United.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine with him.
He's started doing the, like, I know he still gets caught in possession a little bit, and that's absolutely fine, but he's started doing the dirty, nitty gritty things now, and I really, really like that about him. And I've seen his attitude when it's late in the game, and he's sort of like doing a bit more of a cynical foul. Mm. You know, he's taking a card and stuff, so I'll be happy with him if he starts.
Even the way he moves the ball forward at times, it's just not something I was expecting yeah. from him, so I can appreciate it, and I'd be happy with him against
Arsenal. He'll be the trigger for their press. They'll do what I think Palace did, a few teams have tried to. Yeah. So if he plays well, Liverpool got a chance. Tom says, yeah, I like Endo, he does the simple things well. And yeah, that's kind of what he yeah. is. He's a backup rotational player. That's what you want from him. Just don't let us down, I think. And he hasn't. He's been strong.
Don't let us down.
Szoboszlai, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. We had a comment here, a super chat from Ryan. Do you think we could see Szoboszlai on the right and Salah up front? I don't think so. I think Szoboszlai stays easy, we'd say. Right hand side of midfield three.
Yeah, he can be more effective there. I wouldn't want to see him out wide.
I agree. I mean, the only argument would
good
be.
Comment, though.
The only argument would be Abs. Elliot's been brilliant yeah. and like, he might be due one, and if he starts, that's probably where he wants to play, and then you just shift Szoboszlai out the way for him.
Well, Elliot's probably had more consistently good performances recently yeah. for me, to be honest. Szoboszlai's been off the boil. He's, I mean, I know he played well against West Ham, but Elliot has consistently had all the energy yeah. mm. He's got a great link up with Salah. There is an argument there, but the thing with Harvey is when you see that he's coming off the bench, you think, oh, here we go, something could happen here. And I don't think the same thing about Szoboszlai. I sort of think he's probably better off as a starting player, so yeah. I think he probably will start Szoboszlai and then maybe bring Harvey on, but I do feel sorry for him for that, because yeah, he probably does deserve the start after the way he's been playing.
He could yeah. start them both, Jay. He can easily shift one of them over to the other side. Szoboszlai can easily shift over to the, he can play anywhere.
He can.
Elliot can do, but
Then what do you do about Curtis Jones?
Well, I was going to say, the other option there is Curtis, Gravenberch, Elliot.
Yeah.
You can make an argument, if Gravenberch is fit, you can make an argument. Jones was the best player the other day, and Elliot was probably the second best player.
Yeah.
So if you want to, they're both in good nick. If Endo plays Szoboszlai plays, who do you think Jürgen goes as the third option?
If he's fit, I think he goes Gravenberch, and that's no slight on Jones or Elliot, because they were, like you just said, mate, they were brilliant, but I just think what Gravenberch gives you, where he gives you the long legs, he gives you those tackles, he gives you that bit of stability. You know, we spoke about Wijnaldum, the way he shields the ball, and the way, you know, Kenny Dalglish used to shield the ball. I see that in Gravenberch as well, and I like that. So again, if he's fit, I do think he's in contention, but you know, I'm always the type of person in the heart where you just think you've got to reward people for good performances, and Curtis Jones did have a good performance. So again, we're talking here and you go, well, if it's that, I'm not bothered. Well, if it's that, I'm not bothered.
I think it'll be Jones.
Yeah, I do. I 100% think it'll be Jones. He's in it. I'd probably want to see Jones more.
I think, yeah, I think if you want a mad type of game, Gravenberch probably plays into that. I think if you want to get on the ball and control it, which I think Liverpool will, Jones is the man yeah. for that. If anything, sometimes he does it too much, when he gets a little bit slow on the ball, but he does offer you that semblance of control as well, and he was brilliant the other day. I think it'll be Curtis. Again, we don't even know Gravenberch fitness wise, we'll see where he is. But again, I feel so harsh on Harvey Elliott, because, like, honestly, he's been brilliant. He's been fantastic. I think he's been the best player in the last few weeks.
Yeah, he definitely.
Everyone, him and Van Dijk have been, and maybe Kostas, to be fair, but like, them two have been like consistently really, really strong. He'll be gutted, but I guess if the sweetener is, well, Harvey, you're going to start at Burnley, you might be all right. We'll get off the bench in this one and start at Burnley.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of them. I mean, we were having a conversation about every player going, he's been great and he's been great. He's not been like, right, we've got the starting 11, who the figure we're going to bring on?
Which there's no one I'd see in that midfield that I'd be disheartened by, to be honest.
That's it.
Is there a mad Gakpo shout where he throws all four of them in?
Oh.
I think the only way that could happen is if Jota was on the bench, because you'd want them on the bench.
Oh, I miss Jota so much.
Yeah, so do I.
I love him. I just old school finishing, that's where I am. But yeah, he's great. I don't see Gakpo starting in midfield.
Do you see him starting up front?
I do.
Centre forward?
Yes.
Salah plays right.
Yeah.
Here's the question then. I'll come to you first on it, AJ. So Diaz comes off the bench. Darwin plays the entire game. we saw a completely different Liverpool attack with Nunes on the left. I know it was Elliot on the right for a while, then it was Salah a bit later on. Gakpo down the middle. Is that the manager just getting lads games, or is that the manager working on something?
I think he's working on something. And it's a mad shout, but I would love to see Nunes playing on, from the left-hand side.
From the start?
Yes. And the reason why is because when we were at the games 2 years ago when we were watching Benfica, I was sat in the main stand for the Benfica game and he was up and down and he absolutely tore us a new one. He was brilliant. And he was brilliant away as well, playing on that left-hand side. And I think the way he makes his runs, cutting in and the diagonals, I think he'd be a much more effective player. Plus, it allows Gakpo to get in the game because he likes to bring the ball in from midfield as well. So it gives you that extra bit of a triangle. So for me, I would love to see Nunes on the left-hand side at some point. That's no disrespect to Diaz, but I would just love to see it.
I suppose, Abby, as well. Like, I know it's a different Arsenal and you can't judge people by previous years, etc., etc. But Arsenal always struggle with Firmino dropping into that hole all the time. The closest thing we've got to that is Gakpo. If Nunes is up front, he isn't. He's probably offside. And if he's not, he's running the other way. Gakpo does do the dropping in thing and make it. If Liverpool want to go back to how they used to attack with someone dropping in and two fast lads either side of them, then it does make sense for Gakpo to play centre forward. And again, he had another good game at the weekend. He got taken off as well, so maybe they're looking after him. I don't know, but how do you see it going in the attack? What would you do?
You've sort of convinced me on the Gakpo thing and putting Nunes down there, but I still see him starting Diaz on the left. I just don't see him budging from it. I think it's very much as tried and tested at the minute with Nunes down the middle and Salah on the right. Obviously, there's no arguing that one. Yeah. I just don't see him moving away too much in this game. And, you know, I, that's another thing. Gakpo's finally started to improve, in my opinion, and I'd probably be happier to see him come off the bench. And I think, like yous have said, if Jota's sat there on the bench, then maybe he would do something where he puts them all on. But I, with Jota being touch and go, I don't think he takes any risks there, to be honest. I think he plays it stable, as stable as he can.
Yeah. A comment here from Spirit. Nunes should be on the left. He gets more involved. What it does, what Nunes on the left allows him, Jay, is like, I think he's getting better at the hold-up stuff. And he is, you know, but His skill set isn't with his back to goal.
That's not why we bought him.
His skill set is running with the ball, getting involved, getting in the box, creating chances. He's done it all the time, by the way, Darwin. I know he's done everyone's heads and he hasn't scored for a while, but he has constantly been involved.
Yeah,
I do wonder what the manager sees, because he did look after Luis Diaz. He hardly kicked the ball, they came on very late on. He seems to have liked them. Tom says in the comments here, I'd rather play Diaz. Diaz has been a bit indecisive. He's had a bad few weeks, says Ryan as well. So it has been one of those with Diaz where, since he come back, he peaks and troughs a little bit. What would you do?
Well,
I'll go first. Do you want me to answer? I would go Nunes on the left and Gakpo front.
I think with Nunes, if he's on the left hand side, you can time his runs a little bit better in terms, because he's always finding himself offside. And I think, you know, when you're looking both ways, when you're in the middle, it's hard to judge. So if he's from the left, he might be able to time it a little bit better, because I know that's what he wants to do. He plays on the shoulder, doesn't he? So that might help him a little bit. But Like when we bought him, I thought that's what we were buying him for, because I thought, right, well, it's going to be the Mane sort of replacement, you know what I mean? I thought that's what we were buying him for, in that sense with Diaz. But again, I'd love to see Nunes on left, but it's like Ab said, even if he starts with Diaz, Nunes and Salah, I'm happy with that as well.
They'll all be on the pitch at some point.
Because he does get his chances, Nunes, doesn't he? Get those chances, just bloody put
them away.
He
might be starting to feel the pressure now a bit, though, because you can sort of feel people are starting to get uncomfortable.
He could have done with that one in the post the other day, couldn't he?
Do you know what, if that would have went in, people would have obviously not been criticising them, you know what I mean?
I thought it was good the other day, I thought, in general. Ryan here with a comment says, Gomez at 22-1 anytime scoring is a banker. I would want 220-1. Joe Gomez has played like 300 games and never scored them odds. 22 to, they're stinky odds.
He's
never scored a goal.
But they saw him run into the box on Wednesday, but the bookies have shown him that. He knows where the box is now.
He was like Roberto Carlos at one point. He was slaloming through players on the left back position. Right then, you guys in the comments as you're watching live now, do let me know your score predictions for the game. We'll get to them in a second. It's a massive game, guys. And I'm going to, before we get your guys' predictions as well, just want to look at the Premier League table and the fixtures. So first of all, as we know, Arsenal are top, we're second currently, Villa are third, City aren't playing, then you've got Tottenham, Newcastle United. In terms of the fixtures for the Premier League, come away from that sector while I find these. I don't want to dig on. I don't want to let everyone see. I'm going back on my browser. I always get worried what people are what's going to pop up. So I find the Premier League fixtures. We know there's a very good chance, Jay, that Aston Villa win tonight at time of recording. You'd be shocked if they don't. They're at home, yeah, and Sheffield United. So there's a very good chance that Aston Villa are top, which is fair play to them. Yeah, and that's probably going to happen.
But it's the second time I've seen that in my lifetime.
United go to West Ham.
At this stage.
Tottenham host Everton. Not easy games for any of those teams as well. You've got Forest with a Nuno now in charge against Bournemouth. Fulham, Burnley, Luton, Newcastle. Be interesting to see how Newcastle get on away from home there after getting off out the cup in midweek. And you've got Wolves versus Chelsea as well on Christmas Eve, which is mad that there's footy on Christmas Eve. Anyway, but in terms of our rivals, one isn't playing. And then Villa have got a game that you'd probably expect them to win. It feels like it's probably Villa are going to win and then one of us are going to drop points. It's going to be you. That's what we're looking at really in terms of title race. I'm guessing if you want to include Spurs, who are only a point behind City, Everton at home isn't a battle of laughs for them either.
Not at all. On the way, Everton have a little bit of resurgence recently, minus the cup. So you never know with that. Mate, honestly, I always back Liverpool. I'm going to go for a boring old school 90s 2-1 because I can't see. I'll take a 1-0 at this point, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I'm just 1-0 2-1. That's what I'm going for.
I'll read loads out there quickly. Yokul's gone 5-1. Lee Guy's gone 3-2. Tom's gone for a 1-0. Ryan says 3-2. It's going to be nervy. Interesting. Jeremy's gone for a 2-0. Hadith's gone for 3-1, 2-1 to Fiend. Not many. I like that. There's not too much negativity in it.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Abs?
I was going to say 3-3.
Absolute thriller.
Ooh.
A little Christmas cracker.
Yeah. Christmas cracker. Yeah.
That'd be some God. Game now.
Yeah. Villa are definitely going to win, and then we're probably looking at Villa at the Villa top of Christmas.
Is a story.
Emery's still saying like, "Oh no, we're going for the Europa League." He keeps continuing to say it, and I'm like, surely a little bit of hope's creeping into you.
Less the vibes.
I was going to say, yeah, dilly ding, dilly dong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's like, "Oh no, we're just trying to stay up." But like, you're top of the league by 10 points, on Guardiola. Stop lying.
I know. But the thing is, if you build it up too much, you look stupid if that ever drops off.
There's no pressure. Why put pressure?
Enjoy it.
I think Villa are probably the best team in the league at the minute, like on form, probably them and Alec, they really have been, they've been fantastic.
But how nice is it for the league though, the fact that, you know, it's not a changing of the guard, it's just like there's different teams getting in on it. You know what I mean? When Steven Gerrard was at Villa, you wouldn't have predicted that within a couple of years.
Well, the last time I think Aston Villa probably hosted Sheffield United was that game when the goal line technology broke and Villa nearly got relegated.
Oh yeah.
Fast forward a couple of years or whatever, and Sheffield United are bottom and Villa are top of the league. Like, how fortunes change. Like, if that goal is given, who knows? It's mad, you know. Mad butterfly effect and all that kind of stuff. But that's where we found ourselves. Right then, 3-0 for Abby, 2-1 for Jay. I really, really think we can win, but I think we're going to draw 1-1.
Okay.
I think it's a better result for Arsenal and Liverpool. It's not the end of the world.
No.
But yeah, I mean, I hope I'm massively wrong on that one, but I just feel like a bit of a stalemate. I think Arsenal might make it a bit of a stalemate, and it just suits them to be a stalemate. If they get to Anfield, still ahead of Liverpool. Get Anfield out of the way, and you're still ahead of Liverpool in the league. I think they bite your hand off. City bite your hand off for that 1-1 as well.
Cost it was.
But that's where I'm edging, but I hope I'm wrong. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Like I say, guys, do get involved in all of our amazing content here on the YouTube channel, on the podcast service, and over on redmenplus.com. The watch along this weekend, Saturday afternoon, of course. Join me and Errol in the studio for the entire game, all the post-game stuff, all the pre-game stuff as well. We'll see you all there. Take care.
The best there is, best there was, the best there will be.
Ooh, okay. Is he the 50th best signing of all time?
They'll tell you that they're the best player. He's the best player they ever played with.
Famous photos of him being carried off and stuff, and that was what he left everything on the pitch.
Shankly 2.0, and what happened, you know, maybe we see today with what Klopp's trying to do with his 2.0.
How can he be this good? He's so much better than everybody else that's ever played the position. Yeah, okay, fine. I mean,
they shouldn't be ahead of Souness in the pecking order.
47,000 people wanted to pay him £1 a week to stay. That tells you all you need to know about what we thought of that guy at that moment in time.
He should be a lot higher.
Yeah, world class. I think world class.
Quite clearly, who am I to question the boat?
He was astonishing. You know, his ability, his agility was just second to none.
Oh, have I forgiven him yet?
He might be in my top 10. That's how much love I've got for him.
I've done more for Liverpool than at the moment. Am I in this list?
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.